Welcome to SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan. Scott Jackson here with Mike Prada, who, of course, is the editor of SB Nation DC, as well as the man who is Bullets Forever. You are Bullets Forever.
No, that's not true.
Forever. I mean, well, that was your sire.
So is it like a BFF, Bullets Forever, Forever kind of thing?
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of Fs in there. Let's start with one of the interesting things that went on this week with the Washington Capitals, of course, having some problems with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I've been saying this all along, and now some people are tending to think this is crazy talk, but I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if the Capitals don't hang another Southeast Division banner and that they get pushed throughout the regular season in a much better Southeast Division, perhaps the best division actually in the Eastern Conference at this point. But I know some others disagree with it. What are your thoughts on that? Is it the worst thing in the world if the Capitals aren't the champions of their division?
I don't think it's that big of a deal. Because as you've said to me and as everyone has said, it really doesn't matter what your seed is in the playoffs, at least if recent history tells us anything. I mean, you saw what the Flyers did last year. You saw what the Penguins did the year before.
Yep.
So I think as long as they get there, I think it's okay. The other thing is that I think that, I mean, this is what I wrote about a couple of days ago. It's like if your fans are telling you, you know, with their writing that, oh, it really doesn't matter what you do from November to March. You'll be judged on how you do in April. I feel like it's impossible for the players who are reading all this stuff and kind of listening to everyone to not psychologically turn. You know, Ted Leons has said something that they're unconsciously pacing themselves. And when I saw that, everybody was a little worried about that. But when I saw that, I was like, well, of course they're unconsciously pacing themselves. Their fans are telling them that what they're doing right now really isn't that important.
Well,
how can you not?
That's a good point.
How can you not unconsciously pace yourself?
Well, and the fact that they've done it the other way the last 2 years where they've, you know, kind of pulled away in their division, and they've won it and have been, you know, short-timers in the playoffs. So there's that part of it. And they look, they understand the stuff that we're talking about. And the National Hockey League is all about getting in, being one of the top eight. Now, I know the risk for a lot of people that they get worried is, well, what if they don't win the division? They don't even get in. I mean, there's that whole part of it, too. Sure.
They're only a few points out of eighth.
Right, right. And again, the cream will rise to the top after the All-Star break, as it usually does. There'll start to be some separation. Now, obviously, there's less time on the other side in the NHL after the All-Star break compared to, say, the NBA, for example, when everybody says, you know, the NBA doesn't start until after the All-Star break, which is actually very true. But, yeah, in the National Hockey League, I mean, I just think you've seen it so many times with the seeds. Hey, it's great to be the President's Trophy winner. Ask San Jose how that feels, and you still come up short. It really doesn't matter. So I get that part of it. And let's face it, they're also – it's not like the Caps are consciously losing these games. They're also trying to go through a new style of playing. And I guess you could question maybe if they're playing the correct style for the talent they have. I guess that's a big question.
That is my one big concern with what's going on right now. And that is, like you said, it's impossible to deny that they are at this point with the way Ovechkin is struggling, with the way a lot of their top guns are struggling. I mean, I was reading stuff this week. Ovechkin and Mike Green both named the All-Star team, and a lot of people, I think, correctly said, well, maybe based on their merit, they really didn't deserve it. You know, but once you start to, this starts to kind of become a trend, you know, now both guys have battled some injuries this year, but once this kind of continues to be a trend, you have to wonder, and I think this is like a big philosophical question in sports, you know, do you change your style to adapt to what you think is better in the long run? Or do you kind of play to your players' strengths? Because what I'm seeing right now is that a lot of the players are playing, doing uncomfortable things that they're not used to doing. And that takes time to pick up, and I think that explains a lot of what's going on. And maybe it pays off in April, but the alternative is that maybe they just aren't good enough at, you know, what they're doing, and they were really good last year. So why not build on being really good last year? What you did then? I think it's a big question that I'm starting to wonder about.
That's a good point. We're here on SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prater with you here on 106.7 The Fan. And that's certainly, you know, reading some of the comments from the fans here over the last few weeks, whether it be via Twitter during the games or on the blogs after the games. I mean, certainly there is concern. There's concern about, you know, the play of some of their best players, including Alex Ovechkin, of course, first and foremost, with a bit of a slump for him, what we've seen in the past. And, yeah, there is that feeling, you know, maybe this sounded great in practice, you know, in theory, but not so much in practice as far as the way you're playing. But, I mean, I do think in the NHL, one thing that has proven true over the years, as the Capitals certainly can attest to, the teams that are tougher, you know, defensively are the teams that usually advance and usually win. That's not to say you shouldn't play offense. I mean, the Penguins, you know, obviously did, but they also had a little bit better defensive structure the last few years when they won theirs 2 years ago. So, yeah, it is going to be interesting because it is like a big lab experiment, because if it blows up, everybody's going to say, see, they did the wrong thing. But I don't think you can blame Bruce Boudreau. He's certainly taken his marching orders from the top on down. I mean, this is what George McPhee, I mean, you saw it in 24/7 and company want him to do, and they press the issue, as you've seen in these practices. It does concern me that they haven't been able to score on Tampa Bay, though.
Yeah.
which is one of the teams they could face.
And Dwayne Rolson just kills them every time.
Yeah.
But if you are judging not necessarily based on results, but whether this kind of change is working, I think there are a lot of good things going on. Alzner and John Carlson are playing great. I mean, they're arguably playing better than any other defenseman on the team. And maybe, you know, they're right up there with some of the best pairings in the league, and they're so young. I mean, that's part of the emphasis. Both goalies are playing very well.
Yes, they are.
Scott Hannon has, you know, he started a little slow, but he's really been, you know, a very big part of this team recently. He's played very well. And some of the other kind of second line guys are playing, I guess maybe third or fourth line guys, because the second line obviously is a big concern right now. Really is just the top line guys are playing bad, and they don't have that second line center that they still just, they were looking at it, you know, in the summer, and they still don't have it. But again, if you're judging by this culture change, the argument in favor of what they're doing is that the guys who weren't doing as well under the old system, you know, are playing better, and the guys that, you know, are the big guns, you would think that they're going to pick it up at some point, no matter what system they're playing.
Now, I think we can all agree on this. I don't think the city could handle another disappointment from the Capitals, and this is something that was written on the site this week on SB Nation DC by our colleague here at 106.7 as well as SB Nation DC. Now, Chad Dukes hit on this about, hey, you know, Washington needs the Capitals to start winning, and boy, after another sorry Redskins season, you know, the Wizards are a complete non-factor. They can't even win away from Verizon Center, for goodness sakes. They might set a record if they keep doing this for, you know, futility on the road.
They're 10 games away.
Yeah, they're 10 games away now. And, of course, the Nationals, you know, they had a nice little bump with the Jason Worth thing, but we're so far away from that. And, you know, the Phillies, by the way, are still in that division. But, you know, it is kind of like this is the team that everybody's counting on. And it's the owner that everybody, you know, likes, and he's the popular owner. They've got the most, you know, recognizable superstar in town now in Alex Ovechkin. And it's not quite where we thought it would be at this point. And certainly you understand why people are concerned.
Yeah, and I hate these discussions about pressure and stuff because I think it's a little vague.
Sure.
But you do have to wonder if some of these players are feeling the pressure of an entire city on them. I don't think that this phenomenon is really that common in other cities, where you have people that are banding around teams that are playing well. They're not necessarily as tribal as maybe you see in some other cities, where they're really devoted to their one team. There are a lot of fans of just the regional sports here, and I don't know a lot of other markets, but that's my sense. You have to wonder, I mean, are the players feeling a little bit of that, you know?
Yeah.
Because they do not seem to be playing like themselves now. I'm sure a big part of that is this change of philosophy. But what if a part of that is also the weight of expectations? And I think this goes back to what the kind of the whole, we don't really, it doesn't really matter that much what you do in November to April, to March. It's you're judged in April. And I think that it goes back a little bit to that kind of whole phenomenon.
Well, and also, look, this is part of the evolution of the Capitals franchise here, too. With the greater interest level, there's going to come greater expectations. I mean, you have to deal with that. That's part of the game, whether you like it or not. And, you know, as much better as it is from years past, from ever, really, from somebody who, you know, watched the Capitals, you know, I remember in the early expansion years going to the USA Arena, when it was, you know, it was not even USA Arena, it was Capitol Center, and there was, you know, very few people there. I mean, it was like, come on out, plenty of good states available. And those were some rough years. I remember going to those games as a real young kid and thinking, wow, this is pro sports, huh? You know, and to where they are now is an amazing evolution. And a huge credit to, obviously, Ted Leonsis, you know, and what he's been able to do, and certainly the you know, the luck of the draw with Alex Ovechkin. So, but at the same time, you know, this isn't Philadelphia. It's not Boston. It's not New York, certainly, and it certainly isn't any of the big hockey cities in Canada like Montreal. So, I mean, it's not like it's constantly, you know, you're doing a five-hour show on the Capitals here, you know what I mean? And that's all you can think about, all you can talk about.
Right.
So even though it is more pressure in D.C., I think some of these other players who come from other places like Mike Knuble and certainly Scott Hannon who have been in bigger hockey markets probably are like,
yeah.
pressure's there. But, you know, maybe the 24/7 thing on HBO because it puts you in the national spotlight. But really, I mean, big picture, this isn't a tough hockey market at all. I mean,
yeah,
compared to some other places.
True, that's a good point.
I mean, it shouldn't be that much pressure. But again, if this is all you've lived with in your existence in the NHL, maybe suddenly you can kind of feel the temperature after you started your career here. You know, if you're Alex Ovechkin, there really wasn't all that many fans in the seats, and all of a sudden there's people here every night, and everybody's wearing your jersey. I mean, I don't know if that weighs in on you when you're a world class athlete or not, but certainly the climate has changed significantly in the last 4 to 5 years for sure.
I mean, maybe that's the pressure that we're talking about.
Yeah,
you know, it's just that they have the pressure of keeping and maintaining their fan base as opposed to some other cities where, sure, the expectation is to win all the time, but if they don't win, there's still a huge critical mass of tribal. Mm-hmm. You know, those tribal fans that are going to support you. And
like Detroit, yeah. You put one in the toilet for a year, nobody's going to bail out on the Red Wings.
Or Colorado, even.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I have a couple friends who are Avalanche fans, and obviously they aren't as good as they used to be, but they're still big fans.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting evolution again, and I think they're doing the right thing. I really do, and I think they should stick with it. And you know what? If it ticks some people off during the regular season, so be it. But you have to try it this way because the other way was not working. The other way, you know, they've done, you know, since, you know, this group, at least with this group, has not worked. You have to try something different. I do really believe they're doing the right thing. And we'll see, you know, again, we'll have to wait till April to find out if it in fact has worked, and hopefully into May for that matter. We're here on SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prater here on 106.7 The Fan. Let's shift gears to the Redskins here in a couple minutes. Bruce Allen this week had his kind of state of the Redskins postseason thing, and a couple things that really jumped off the page, of course, were the fact that he didn't close the door on anything. And that includes two guys everybody thinks are out of town yesterday, which are Albert Haynesworth and, of course, Donovan McNabb. I don't believe him for a second, but I just wonder, Mike, will the rest of the NFL believe him enough to actually maybe give the Redskins a little bit of something for these two players, or one of these two players?
Probably not. But if you're Bruce Allen, it doesn't really help to say that these guys are going to be gone next year.
Yeah, like you mean like the Texans did with Vince Young?
I mean,
they're like, yeah, where are they going to trade him or cut him? So yeah, if you're out there in the market, you're like, thanks. Thank you for telling us that.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, why didn't they just do that?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I just tend to think that if you're, a general manager or a personnel person, you never really should be in the business of kind of like, you know, saying.
Telling the truth?
Killing. I mean, yeah, I mean. Yes, pretty much. Yeah. I mean,
I think you do have to lie all the time. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Some people get really insulted when you say lie, but I honestly don't think you have to be forthcoming with anybody.
Well, you just have to kind of make it sound believable, though. Sometimes you could look really silly. I mean, yeah, like, you know, and it just when people know you just don't make sense. I actually haven't read his comments that carefully to see, like, if I think he's believable. I mean, I'm sure he's pretty good at this, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
In terms of the other thing then that we have to kind of consider is how much of it is really within his control.
That's a good thing. Now, here's my question, and I was not at the Bruce Allen presser the other day, was whether or not there was Mike Shanahan, like, you know, putting his hand at his back and not moving and drinking a glass of water while Bruce Allen was talking. Because let's face it, I mean, Bruce Allen has a nice title, but everybody knows he answers to Mike Shanahan, not the other way around.
There's probably a hidden camera in the press conference.
He was being evaluated as well for his believability during the presser. But, look, I understand what they're trying to do. I mean, you can't really go out there and just, you know, box yourself in a corner and say, hey, we're going to have to get rid of this guy. I get that part of it. That's smart business on their part. You know, maybe even the best thing to do if you're a franchise, which is I think what New England pretty much does, is just don't discuss those matters publicly at all.
Yeah, but
say,
you
we
have,
don't talk
you
to people like you. Sorry, you guys, I mean, you have, media.
You have to talk to. They have to give that kind of session, otherwise this mm-hmm. town will kill.
No. I don't think you don't give the session. I'm just saying, you say, well, we don't talk about players, you know, futures publicly until we've assessed all the situation of the players. You know, I could write the lines for these guys. I've been through enough of these, but I don't know. I don't believe it for a second. I would be stunned. I guess if I had to pick one of the two, that'd be more likely. Believe it or not, it'd probably be Haynesworth.
Yeah. Now,
the
one thing that is kind of a little bit concerning if you're the Redskins, and I think it might have residual effects, is that let's say there's like a lockout, and let's say that you're kind of holding these guys kind of hostage.
True.
With Donovan, they have to make a decision by I forget what day it is before
it's
that
real
buyout.
Close to the regular season start. Yeah,
is it that? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's that late. So I mean, if you're holding onto a player until like September, you're kind of making it so he can't play next year, and players are going to see that and be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, I think they'll come to some resolution for them, but they just have to pay him, so they're not going to do that. They're going to have to make a move beforehand. But, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Does it hurt with free agents and whatnot? Yeah, certainly it could.
I don't know how much of that stuff matters, but it's still something to think about.
Yeah, it is something to think about, especially with agents. Obviously, you got to be careful which agents you cross. If there's not big ones, well, then it's not such a big deal. All right, coming up, John Keim from the Washington Examiner is actually going to join us to talk about this, and we'll get into that. But we want you to know you can now follow SB Nation Radio on Twitter.
Yep.
And on Facebook.
Yep, at SB Nation Radio. And definitely friend us and definitely like us on Facebook because, you know, we like all you. And we're
You can hate us on the air, but just like us on Facebook, really. That's all that matters.
We're better on the air, we think, than we are with our puns.
Well, as far as you know. All right, coming up, John Keim, Washington Examiner. He broke down the quarterbacks very well. Of course, Cam Newton's in the draft, so looking forward to get John's thoughts on where Cam Newton could fit into this mix because the Redskins at 10, certainly in a position to take a quarterback if they choose to do so. We'll get to that next. Scott Jackson, Mike Preda, SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan.